It's my honor to welcome to the morning show Senator Maggie Hassan. Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm well, Roy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a lot of information to get out. I know you've been incredibly busy.
Well, a lot of people have been incredibly busy, but I'm happy to be here.
Right. That's awesome. Now, I know that you and your family, I hope you're doing well.
We are. Thank you. Everybody's, knock on wood, seems healthy, and we're doing our best to isolate as much as possible.
I know up in the rural areas like where we are, we've been blessed with not having too many of an impact of the COVID-19, but Rockingham, Hillsborough counties have been pretty hard hit. And you're a family that deals with some underlying health issues, and how are you trying to get the word out about what the governor has done here and what you guys are doing on the federal level?
Well, so, my family has a member who is a high-risk person for the virus, and it would be a very difficult virus for him to combat and survive. So we've been very careful, and as I think your listeners know, I socially isolated for a couple of weeks in D.C. after we passed the CARES Act so that I could drive back up here knowing that, to the best one can know, that I didn't have the virus before I came in the house. And I think a lot of people are facing that kind of challenge. And one of the things we know is that as we are doing everything we can to socially distance, staying home, we have non-essential businesses closed, that has a huge economic impact. So we have been working as hard as we can to reauthorize that small business program that helps small businesses stay in business and keep their workers on payroll. We have bumped up unemployment benefits and expanded unemployment eligibility. And then we also provided individual cash assistance to people under certain income limits. And one of the things I've been working on is making sure that people, regardless of their financial circumstances, can access those stimulus payments quickly and easily. And so that means I've been working to make sure that Social Security recipients and VA beneficiaries could get those payments automatically without having to file new paperwork with the IRS. And to date, we've had good success in pushing the IRS, so people with Social Security, whether it's retirement or disability, supplemental security income, and veterans and their caregivers or survivors who have VA benefits will get these payments automatically. And that's been really important because it's a lot of people, and it's people who need this assistance the most.
I know that I've been reading articles about the PPP loans being gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah. The first round were gone very, very quickly. These are these loans that cover a couple of months of rent and payroll for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is we put an infusion of money in for the first round, and it was gone very, very quickly. So just last week, Tuesday, we passed another bill. The president signed it, I think, on Friday, and that's put more money into the PPP program. And one of the things we focused on, this is for employers of fewer than 500, but we focused on making sure that not-for-profits of fewer than 500 employees and small businesses, the true mom and pops, would have better access to the program this time round, because a lot of very small businesses and nonprofits don't have established relationships with big banks. So we really took some steps to make sure that their community lenders would have access to these funds just for these smaller businesses. And that's something that I want all of your listeners to know, because we're a small business state.
Right, exactly. We're with Senator Maggie Hassan here on the morning show, 93.5 WMWV. I read a wonderful column you submitted to the New Hampshire Union Leader, and it talked about a meeting with the president and the bipartisan work that's going on to try and get the economy started again. But it's really, I feel it's going to be a long road.
Look, we have a long road ahead of us. This is an unprecedented pandemic, and it's a particularly lethal and difficult virus because it's also stealthy. You can be asymptomatic and carry the virus and spread it to somebody else, and that's one of the biggest difficulties we've had in combating the virus. And that really points to the need for more testing and something called contact tracing, which takes more public health employees, so that when we reopen, we can have confidence that the businesses we're going to are safe. So testing would allow us to identify cases quickly, and then contact tracing is when public health folks interview you and find out who you've been in contact with, if you're positive for the disease, they can then isolate people who were had the disease or were exposed to it while keeping the rest of the economy open. That's why there's so many of us pushing so hard for more testing at a at a national level, because the federal government really needs to come in and ramp up testing capacity and coordinate testing and contact tracing with the states. And so in this most recent package that the president signed on Friday, we have $25 billion devoted to more testing, and we instruct the administration to develop a national testing strategy.
It's funny, I was watching a local news channel the other day. It wasn't really funny, actually, but learning about the RNA of the coronavirus, and this is an insidious little bug.
Yeah, it really is, and that's why you see leaders everywhere, you know, taking such drastic action, shutting down economies, essentially, because it is such a lethal virus, and because not only does it kill people, but it can overwhelm our healthcare system, which obviously is a problem not only for individuals who need care, but it also really undermines our economy, too.
It most definitely does. And the virus is insidious enough, but then there are showing another dark side of this pandemic, the scamming that's going on with people and their stimulus payments.
Yeah, and thank you for covering that. What I want people to know is that there are scammers out there. It's very sad that it exists at any time, that it exists right now when we're all going through this tough time together. Is even worse. But look, what's happening is because scammers know that so many individuals are eligible for these stimulus payments, they're calling people up on the phone, pretending to be from the IRS, asking for your individual information that they will then take from you, and they will go to the IRS portal because there's a place you can go on the portal to put in your direct deposit information so that you don't have to wait for a paper check. And they are taking information from people and then sending, you know, having the money sent to a different bank account. You'll never see it. So first of all, if somebody calls you on the phone and says they're from the IRS and they want personal information, they are a scammer, and do not give it to them. The second kind of scam going on is people calling you and saying, hey, or maybe doing it on the internet, we are a new service. We can expedite your payment from the IRS if you pay us a fee. There aren't any legitimate services out there doing that, and you should not fall for that scam either. If you do believe you have been scammed, the Treasury Department has a website you can report that at, treasury.gov/TIGTA. You can also call my office at 622-2204. And by the way, you can also call my office just if you have questions about anything from the PPP to the Small Business Disaster Loan Program run through the Small Business Administration, to what you need to do, if anything, to get your stimulus payments. For everybody who has paid taxes in either 2018 or 2019 and filed their tax return, the IRS has all the information it needs to get you the payment. The only issue is, if you usually get refunds by paper check, and you want it by direct deposit, you will need to go onto the IRS portal to make that happen.
And I use that myself, and I must admit, I'm a little nervous when it comes to scams and stuff. And I, as I was hitting enter, it's like, do I really want to do this? But I felt safe because it was IRS.gov.
Right. We are pushing them to do, you know, even more to make sure that that site is secure. This is an ongoing effort. We all have to practice good cyber hygiene, and you know, these scammers are ingenious. But people are getting their checks, are getting their direct deposits, having done what you did.
Nice. Well, speaking of thanks to your office, Laura Epstein, I want to give a little shout out to her for helping to set this thing up. It's wonderful having you with us here.
Well, it's really great to be with you all, and I hope people are staying safe and staying well. Again, if you've got questions about what's going on, whether you're a small business or an individual needing assistance, please call 622-2204.
As a former governor, you understand how difficult it's been in shutting things down. Governor Sununu, Janet Mills in Maine, Charlie Baker in Mass, they've had quite the task in front of them, something you probably didn't see in your administration. But in our little corner of New England, we've been, as I mentioned a little earlier, we've been pretty blessed with a very low count. But I'm noticing over the weekend, I was taking a little ride around and on a beautiful day on Saturday,
yeah.
And I noticed that out-of-state plates everywhere, and people are traveling.
Yeah, they are, and I think this is one of the really difficult challenges moving forward. First of all, what a beautiful part of the state you are in, and it's incredibly important to have a strong tourism industry, something I've always loved promoting about New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. There's no state like us, and people should come here to recreate and enjoy themselves and see beautiful natural resources. But the thing about this virus, as we talked about earlier, it's stealthy, and it doesn't know any borders. And one of our challenges, and I know something the governor is balancing, is if we keep part of our state open and draw an influx of visitors from parts of New England or the region where things are still closed, there is a higher likelihood that they will bring with them the virus, not intentionally, because mm-hmm. so many people don't have any symptoms with this virus. Right. But then we run the risk of them spreading it up here and it overwhelming our relatively small hospitals. And so that's the balance that public health officials are trying to strike here. And I know Governor Sununu is working with public health officials. We're all working together with the governor, our whole delegation, and his public health team to try to make the right judgments moving forward.
Well, Senator Maggie Hassan, we totally appreciate you joining us this morning. We wish you and your family the best. Thank you. Thank you so much for the hard working that you're doing during these crazy, unusual times. And hopefully, as things move on, we can get a little update from you in the future.
I would love that. And everybody, I so look forward to getting to the mountains and seeing people in person. We're strong. We're resilient. We're going to get through this together because that's the kind of state and country we are. And we're going to come out of this on the other side stronger. This is a horrible epidemic, to be sure, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But at the end of the day, we're going to get through this.
Thank you, Senator Maggie Hassan. Take care, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Roy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's Senator Maggie Hassan on 93.5 at WMWV.